And then also come back to archetypes, which I mentioned earlier. So fragmentation of meaning can also be created by unresolved archetypes. So if you've got an archetype which you're projecting onto somebody or something, so some sort of psychic need which is you're assuming is about something out there, but actually something going on in you. It's a psychic function in you which is being projected, like believing that the boss is the Dark Lord. Then
shit.
Then obviously that's another aspect of fragmentation of meaning, isn't it? So the meaning of the boss needs separating there from the meaning of the Dark Lord. The meaning of the Dark Lord is an archetype, which relates very much to our organic experience of threats and so on. The meaning of the boss has to be sort of understood within their company structure and so on. So
a resolved archetype is maintaining that separation.
Yes, yeah, so that's where clarification is, and some sort of analysis and awareness of differences is actually quite useful in you know, spotting projected archetypes. So it's almost like you're using a particular cognitive model that you're used to, but you're not using it with awareness that it requires. So that's working within one cognitive model. But there it helps, I think, to have another cognitive model, which is actually where you think about archetypes as archetypes. Then that can help you to appreciate archetypes as such.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, you listen to stories about the Dark Lord, you get in touch with your feelings of terror or whatever it is, and then you go and see the boss and you have a sane conversation rather than feeling threatened.
Yes, the idea. I do like Sabre's hand.
Yeah.
Could you just quickly define archetype again?
Okay, well, I see an archetype as a psychic function. So it relates to the function of the ego in some way, usually. So in my analysis of which comes from Jung, it's a sort of adaptation of Jung. There are four basic types of archetypes. So there's the hero archetype, which is association of the ego, it's an idealization of the ego, really. So the idea that we can do anything if we only try hard enough, and so that represents that sort of the ego's sort of absolutization of its own role.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the shadow, which I've already mentioned, which is what the ego rejects. So it's the stuff that's outside the ego. It's different, it's other, mm-hmm. nothing to do with me. I don't want it, I'm afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the devil or
racism. Whatever, yeah.
Racism, yep. Then there's the animus stroke animus, which is the attractive other. So often, but not necessarily sexual. So the anima for a man is often takes a sort of idealized feminine
mm-hmm.
form, or something different from him,
mm-hmm.
but wonderfully enticing and mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And for a woman, the alternative is the animus.
Could it also be Adolf Hitler or some charismatic?
It could be, yes. And it could be something completely non-sexual, so it could be an enticing, mysterious landscape or something like this. So that would have the same psychic function. And how gays fit into this, I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure they have enticing, mysterious things as well.
Yeah.
wherever they are. Then there's the what Jung calls the God archetype, or the wise old man or wise old woman archetype, which is the sort of absolutization of the whole psyche. It's sort of the archetype of integration. So it's where we kind of project ahead what it would be like to be completely integrated,
okay.
have all our energies working together, and we turn that into a symbol. Right. So God is one version of that, so the meaning of God. Another might be, you know, Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, or a guru figure.
Yeah.
Buddha.
Yoda.
Buddha,
or Buddha, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Yoda, yes.
And do these archetypes resonate with the Lacovian idea of metaphors as well?
Well, I think they are metaphors in the sense that, broadly speaking, you can fit it into that structure, yes. Yeah. But I think there are slightly distinguishable issues, because archetypes tend to be projected in this way. So the particular ways of dealing with them, I think, which do require a bit more clarification, as well as just indulging in metaphorical exploration, if you like.
Okay.
So there's the analysis, you know, psychoanalysis is part of what that involves, I think, in a way, is distinguishing archetypes from distinguishing projections from what we take to be realities.
Yeah.
But there's also some more poetic side, which is just involved in appreciating the archetypes as such.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So.